Bob Babke is our speaker today. Bob was born and raised in Lethbridge. He has a unique career as a legal counsel in that while he loses cases in Lethbridge, he goes to the Supreme Court and he's won every one at the Supreme Court. Prior to his retirement, he was active as chairman of the board of the Lethbridge Community College. He has been actively involved with the Progressive Conservative Association, Gordon, but you'll forgive him. And you wouldn't be here if you didn't know what he was going to talk about. We thank you for the tremendous reaction to the publicity and the letters that he and Bob Parkin have been writing in the paper. We will be trying to schedule another session later on, and there will be due notice of that. Without any further ado, Bob, come up and keep them entertained.
Thank you, Ed, and thank you for coming out to hear what I have to say. I hope it'll be entertaining and informative, particularly. It's an interesting topic, and it's really relevant at the present time because next week city fathers will be presenting an open house, and they'll be presenting to you some idea that they're going to have on what kind of taxes you're going to face for the next 3 years. So I would hope that people might take an interest in that. I've been interested in it a while, and I certainly wasn't very happy 3 years ago when I went down and was given material, but we'll talk about that as I go on. It's a very interesting title. Lethbridge Public Finances is City Hall Gouging Our Citizens. I think gouging has to be viewed from your own standpoint, because I can tell you that some people would be very happy to continue to pay the taxes that they pay in Lethbridge, and I think some people are unhappy. And I'll deal with some specifics in that regard. But first of all, your notice also says that Babke claims that there's $150 million or so held in an investment with an investment broker at the present time, or at least at the end of December of 2007. And it's as though it's a challenge to me, so I brought a letter that I rely on for that purpose. The figure is $148 million. So it's $148,588,000 is held in investment accounts as at the end of December of 2007. Now, when I look at that page, I'm a little bit concerned because I don't know where the $30 million of the ABCP money is. And I'm assuming that it's included in there because City Hall seems to think that we're going to get all that $30 million back. But that's another story and not one that we can deal with here. Next slide, please. But you can see what has been happening since 2001 with the investment portfolio. What is represented on the right-hand side of this is the average portfolio size since 2001 when it was at $46 million. The average daily portfolio throughout the year 2007 was $119 million. Now, obviously, there's more invested the first part of July because they've collected taxes. But they keep all of that and spend it through the year, but each year you can see what it's been going up by. From 48 to 50, to 54, to 68, to 91, to 102, to 119. We're going up by about $20 million, and I suspect that we'll be going up by another $20 million in the next year. Now, I'm going to get back to that because not all of that is taxes. A good portion of it is the new regime of Stelmac with the what we're going to be receiving soon is about $27 million each and every year. Those are ticketed for capital items. My disagreement with City Hall on that is they should stop using some of the taxes for all the capital expenditures that they've got because they're going to be getting $27 million a year from Stelmac starting in 2010. And presently, they've been getting quite a bit under the Alberta Municipal Infrastructure Program, which is $14 million a year, which started in 2004. So it's not all taxes, but a good portion of it is. Let me return to the question, if I can, as to what would amount to gouging. Next slide. Oh, thank you. You're ahead of me. I have two actual properties from the city of Lethbridge. House number one is a fellow that I know very well, and I know his home. I know what its value is, and it's a nice home. And I know that nothing extra was done to it between 2007 and 2008. His assessment was $784,000 for 2007. It increased by $175,000 for 2008. But guess what? He's not like you and I. He paid $441 less in municipal taxes. On the other hand, the fellow in house number two is another guy that I know very well, and I've been in his home several times. And I can say the same thing about his. He has a nice home. His increase was $177,000. Applying the mill rates for 2007-2008, you can see that his taxes rose by $544. So both of them have the same increase in the value of their property. One pays a whole lot more in taxes, one pays a whole lot less. So what I'm trying to, the reason I'm pointing that out to you is, fellow number one is going to think he isn't getting gouged. In fact, he's going to be pretty happy with the way that the mill rate works and the way that taxation works. The same thing happens with federal income tax. You'll appreciate that if there's a 1% reduction in tax, the guy making $1 million gets a lot of money back. The guy making $30,000, $40,000 gets virtually nothing. So you have to watch that kind of thing, and you have to consider that in understanding whether somebody feels they're being gouged or not. Let me say one other thing about the question of being gouged. Knowing that there's $150 million in an investment account will somehow depend on what your view is what that should be used for. If you're a citizen of Lethbridge and you think that you want to see that third bridge go in at a cost of about $150, $170, $200 million, you probably don't care that there's $150 million in the account because it's been collected from everybody. But not everybody wants that $170, $200 million bridge. So the people that don't want it are going to be questioning whether we're being gouged. The ones that want it are going to say they're very happy. So it depends on your point of view. But as to taxes, I have to say that only part of the 150 would be from taxes, and part of it is from these grants. My best guess is that it's about one quarter to one third is from the capital grants. And I say that because if in the AMIP, which was $14 million a year, at the beginning of 2007, there was $34 million had accumulated. In other words, they had received $42 million in grants, and they'd only spent $34 because they were using offsite levies and taxes to pay for some of the capital programs. But in any event, what are the sources of money that we receive and that the city runs on? And the MSI funding that is the money that Stelmac is now sending, you can see from this, from note one, that what the city administration decided to do when they were doing the CIP, that is the capital improvement program, was to treat it as though we were going to get the same amount of the grants onward to 2016. Well, they now acknowledge that, in fact, it's no longer going to be just the $2.5 million, it's going to be the $26 million. They have acknowledged that since then. Next slide. This is the detail on the AMIP grant, and I had indicated to you before that at the beginning of 2008, there was $34 million being held in the account, and you can see that some of it, or a good portion of it, at that point is going to go on the NMAC Center. I'm wondering about that going into the NMAC Center because it seems to me that we have a lot of road construction. The things that this is intended for is outlined at the bottom. The core infrastructure projects fall under roadways and bridges, public transit, water supply, treatment and distribution system, wastewater collection and treatment systems. That's what that money should be going for, but you can see that $34 million has been saved. There aren't a whole lot of plans about where it's going, except a large amount over a couple of years of $2.5 million is going to go into construction of the NMAC Center. That is the restaurant and the banquet hall that's going on the end. There's no new seats there that a lot of people think are going in as a $34 million project. It's creating an entertainment center. I don't know whether some people that have banquet halls now are going to be very happy about the city supporting one. Next one. And this is the detail of the MSI funding that Premier Stelmach has announced. You'll see that it's lower for 2008 and 2008 and 9, and it doesn't become in Lethbridge. Where is it? The $26 million a year, every year, for 10 years. It doesn't get to that total until the AMIP program is gone. So basically, we're getting pretty close to that $27 million for the last couple of years. Next one. The MSI funding and the AMIP funding are the biggies. There are other programs that we receive money from outside sources, but the rest of everything that runs in the city comes out of our pockets. And it comes out of our pockets in several different ways. It comes out in the taxes. It comes out in the fees, the largest being the electric fees. And I'm only going to deal with taxes and the electric fees at this presentation and try to swing a little bit into the MRSRs, although we don't have a whole lot of time. Now, how do you determine your position relative to whether or not you're being gouged with taxes? Well, I suggest that one way is a comparison with other communities in the city or in the province of Alberta. And there is a standard study done by the City of Edmonton each and every year and published. Lethbridge used to rely on it because we were on the low end. I think when Dave Carpenter was mayor, we were on the low end in that, weren't we, David? But it's turned around, and it's turned around dramatically in the last 6 years. Now Lethbridge is sitting at $1,317 for taxes. Calgary's $945. Well, I know that what somebody's going to say to me is, but their homes are different and they're worth more. What this survey does is it takes a standard home, a 1,200-square-foot home on a 6,000-square-foot lot with a double-car garage, and what the City of Edmonton does is they call each of the assessors in all the cities, and they say, what would you value that lot at or that property at? They get that value, and then they multiply by the mill rate. And that's how they determine an apple to an apple and make this comparison. So you can see Calgary is the lowest, Medicine Hat is second, Red Deer, Edmonton. I'm sorry, Edmonton's a little higher than, or a little lower than Red Deer, and then Lethbridge. And we're way up there.
Could you read the number?
Sure. The municipal property tax in Lethbridge for that home for the year 2007, the 2008 study hasn't been released yet, was $1,317. Now, this is municipal tax only. This is not the education tax, which the city does not use for its programs. It goes to Edmonton. It's not the Green Acres tax, and it's not the frontage tax. It's simply that municipal tax, and I'll show you a tax bill in, or a tax bylaw in a moment. Edmonton is Red Deer is the next highest at $1,217. Edmonton's $1,131. Medicine Hat's $1,006. And Calgary comes in at $945. And I'm sure you're going to say to me, holy cow, how can that be? Calgary has such expensive things up there. Well, there's more people, and they watch it differently than we do. And I'm sure if you read the Calgary Herald, you'll see that aldermen and citizens are constantly inquiring about what tax rates are going on. You don't hear that in Lethbridge. You never hear an alderman ask a question on the rate of taxes, at least that I see, and I watch Channel 12 all the time, and I don't hear anybody questioning anything. So that's how Calgary stays down, because people in Calgary take an interest. I hope in Lethbridge we'll start taking interest. just for a comparison purpose, and I want you to keep this in your mind, the residential mill rate in Calgary is 2.4151. They put a rate down as opposed to a mill rate. That's on all residences, the rate is 2.4151. And I can tell you right now, you'll see it in a moment, Lethbridge is 5.545, 2.3 times the mill rate that they operate in Calgary. Now, what that should tell you, if you think in mathematical terms, is that if you have a $300,000 home in Lethbridge, that same home sitting in Calgary should be worth $750,000. That's the 2.5 times the $300,000. But it's not. And I invite you to look at Calgary newspapers, compare them to Lethbridge on new homes. Our $300,000 homes, just about exactly the same home, because builders are building pretty similar homes, would be in Calgary about $430,000. Yet, we're paying 2.5 times on the value, on the mill rate than Calgary is. I've also highlighted the non-residential mill rate at 8.0929. And the reason I've done that is I often hear some officials out of City Hall say, well, we have to charge more for residential because we don't charge as much for the non-residential, that is for the business properties in Calgary. They charge a whole bunch. Next one. Well, let's look at what the mill rate is for business properties in Lethbridge. It's 16.65. That's double what the Calgary business pays, and businesses are valued on what their earning capacity is. So they're paying an 8 mill rate, we're paying a 16. I can't get any business people in Lethbridge to get interested in it, but when City Hall tells them that in fact we're paying far less on business taxes, we aren't. Our businessmen are paying a whole lot higher. Now, I've got some other information there. This is the relevant page from the tax bylaw for 2008. And you can see that I'm only going to deal with the municipal stuff. Everything below that is the school taxes and the Green Acres Foundation. That is not money that the city itself uses. What the city uses from taxes for this year is that total of $73 million. From residential property, it gets $42 million. Now, I can't give you the 2002 bylaw page, but I can tell you that from the 2003 annual report, I was able to discover that, in fact, the taxes, the general municipal taxes, in 2002 were $37 million. $37 million compared to $72 now. 6 years. The increase is 95% in the amount of general municipal taxes collected from the citizens of Lethbridge. Now, I'm not a total idiot. I know that there has been some increase in population during that time, so not everybody is up 95%. So we take into consideration some changes. It isn't up 95% because population increase has gone from 72,000 in 2002 to 83,000 in 2008, and a percentage change of 15%. Inflation from the Bank of Canada, and you can get this on the internet anytime you want, has risen 14.5% from 2002 to 2008. If I extrapolate those to, say, taking the taxes of $37 million in 2002, and I add in inflation and I add in growth, then what the taxes should have been, just considering those factors, would be $49,000. $49 million. I get lost in these big numbers. So we're $23 million higher. We're 50% higher than an increase that would have included inflation and population growth. That's a tremendous increase. Now, I'm sure we'd have some further services, but I don't know anyone who has an increase in their income during that period of time of that nature. and perhaps I should, I can't resist this. Probably the only people in Lethbridge that can afford that kind of an increase is the people working at City Hall. So having already seen the tax bylaw from 2008, and I can go back to it, but I don't think you want me to do that because I can make a quick comparison. I'm now going to tell you about, bring it into a shorter time frame, and I'm going to deal with the tax increases since 2005. That is, what increases went in 2006, 7, and 8. And I have a specific reason for that because, in fact, that's the period of time that governed the last time the City Hall did a budget. Because we now do budgets for 3 years. And that's what's going on next week, and I hope some people are going to attend and have your say. At the open house 3 years ago, what the city presented, and it was the only document they presented, was a nice little note that said, how does this affect you? This was all the increases. 5.9% annually. They even suggested that the average annual increase was going to be 3.3% because you weren't going to pay any more for utilities. 5 minutes after they passed the bylaw, they passed a bylaw increasing utilities by 17%. But in any event, that's what they said. So if I extrapolate 5.9%, it gets to be about 19%. Should have been the three-year increase. Next slide. But what's really happened to the property tax comparison from 2005, which was then raised into 2008. Population growth has gone from 77 to 83. Inflation has gone from a rate of 105 to 111. What the Bank of Canada does is they start from a base, I think it was in 2003, wasn't it? And so you go up and down from that base of $100. So that $100 in January of 05 would have been worth 105. In January of 2008 would have been 111. So that's how the inflation gets calculated. So if I looked at that total of the general municipal taxes moving from the $73 million in 2008, I want to go back. No, I need the 2005. It's one back from that. From 54 to 73, that was the figure that I was losing for a moment, the total municipal. Then what has happened is the city tax has gone up 34%. Well, that's a whole lot more than 5.9% per year. And I'm even giving them an increase or I'm knocking off an increase for inflation and population growth. So in the end, even giving them credit for all of that, it's 16.3% above the adjusted price or the above the adjusted dollar for inflation and property growth. That's 16% that nobody is getting, again, other than perhaps the people at City Hall. Go to the next one. Not doing well here at the time. I'm going to have to go on from the tax situation. I hope that I've got the message across. Of course, we have questions if you have some question on it. And I want to move very quickly and briefly to the question of the electric utility in particular, because it's important. It produces an awful lot of money, a lot more than it costs to run the electric department. And here is the report out at the end of December 2007. And I don't know whether you can see the numbers, but, okay, there's two items. You'll see on your electric bill that you pay a municipal consent and access fee. Some would think that that kind of goes into the operation of the electric department. It does not. It goes straight to the Municipal Revenue Stabilization Fund that You might recall in days past, that was the mill rate stabilization. That was so that you would use the money in the MRSR to lower taxes. Well, now it's a collection item because it goes into what is called the municipal revenue. So the two figures that go for municipal consent and access fee is over $6 million and a return on investment of $3 million. They collect from us something called distribution and transmission from which they calculate a return on investment. Well, that's an interesting thing because we own the electric lines. But City Hall seems to think that they own the electric lines and they're charging us for using them. So we're paying ourselves a return on investment for our investment. And we're paying it every month. And it collects and gets used for any number of things. What number is that, buddy? I'm just going to skip through this. From the end of 2007, it wasn't just that amount of money that I pointed out to you, the $9.4 million. There was also a surplus over and above the $9.3 million, and that surplus was $1,561,000. So add that to the $9.4, and you're getting pretty close to $11 million is going to be available. That $1.5 is supposed to go in to the 2008 budgeting. Next one. Now, how did we get to that kind of price? I spoke to you moments ago about the moments after the tax bylaw was passed 3 years ago. In fact, it was within about 5 minutes. They passed the increase in distribution and transmission fees that they're charging us on the electric bill. The increase was 14% in distribution, 22% in transmission, an average increase on our electric bill on the fees, not the per kilowatt hour, because that went sky high, but the city can't do anything about that, was 17.5%. Next. Now, this is just the actual rate that we pay. When you look at your bill, if you look at your bill, because I know a lot of people can't sort out that bill, there's two parts to distribution access. It's a per kilowatt hour and a daily rate. Same with transmission. The only reason I'm showing you that at this point is because it's for most places, the daily rate is higher than the per kilowatt hour. And you have to get up to about 1,000 kilowatt hours before per kilowatt hour charge is higher. So what that means is the fellow that has an apartment that's 600 square feet is paying the same amount for a hookup to electricity as the fellow with an 8,000 square foot home. I mean, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But that's the way the system is set up. Next one. And then as if they don't have enough money from distribution and transmission, they throw in the Rider A, which amounts to 31% on top of what they've already charged you for. Next one. So this is where the utility fees have gone in Lethbridge. Where am I? Close. Since that raise of 17.5% effective in 2006. Transmission, you can see the percentage changes. The new bylaw that has already been passed shows transmission is up from 0.54 to 0.95, an increase of 68%. Distribution is up 14%. That's on the daily charges. The per kilowatt charges are also up 49 and 28. In the long run, what it is the bill will have gone in 2006 to 2009 from $27 to $34. That's each and every month, and I haven't added on there yet that rider, that 30%. So if I add that on, the bill in 2009 for those factors is going to be about $45, $46 for each and every user. Now, there's about 33,000 of us that have residential use. There is other bills for industrial and businesses, and they have a different rate, but I'm just presenting to you the residential rate. So at $45 or 33,000 people, That raises about $18 million. Next one. Now, what we have here is the electric budget that was passed 3 years ago. And what I want to point out to you here is the sales of goods and services, which is that item right there, that brings in $29 million a year. The $29 million that comes in is that 18 I spoke to you about a minute ago that we, the residential, are all paying, and there's another $11 million from businesses and industrial. So what does that cover? Most of us would think that's going to cover the entire cost of running the electrical department. Well, it does, and it covers a whole lot more. Because what it does cover is the personnel, $6 million. So then the big items that it covers is interdepartmental charges of $8 million. And that ROI and MCAF that I showed you in the MRSR is that $9 million. It was $9.4 million exactly. This was the budget for 2008. So if 9 and 8 are going to the city to run other operations, that means that there is the entire electrical department is being run on about $10 million. And the $17 or $18 million going in collected from our pockets to run other things. And people don't believe that. But that's how much is going. Next one. And it's not getting any better, because since the 1st of January of this year, they're online. They say in their update, electric wire services utility operations are projected to be in a surplus of approximately $1 million by year end, and the regulated rate option is expected to be in a surplus of another million. So they're going to be conceivably $2 million more in surplus, and that's over and above that $9 million or $10 million that's going into the MRSR for distribution to other things. I want to just make one point about the amount. Next. Where some of that money goes, that the interdepartmental charges. Well, here's one of the items, and I picked them just because I want you to know what they do. Total budget for city council is about $383,000. $183,000 comes from an interdepartmental transfer to them. That's coming from electricity. So the electricity is paying close to half of the total cost of the city council membership. Now, obviously, there's others, because there's about $8 million there. I think the finance department takes about $2.5 million of it. I would have to go through 100 budgets to show you each and every one of those. I've asked City Hall to provide me with who's getting the most and where the electric goes, but they kind of ignored that request. Go on. Can I do just two more things? Now, I want to just speak so briefly on the MRSR, because there's a lot of money getting collected in MRSR. You've seen some of that. But most people in this room have been around for a while, and they believe that back in 1996-97, that when the City Hall was built, we had the money already, and in fact it had been turned down on a couple plebiscites. But then David knows you had the money available, so you built City Hall. But what was then done was they calculated that cost at $20.9 million, and they decided they wanted that money back. And where would they get the money back from? Me and you. Because they collect it as a debt owing from an internal debt, so that for City Hall, with the interest rates that they're charging, for City Hall, over the 15 years, we will have paid back $32 million for a $20 million building that we had the money for when we built it. And now we're putting it back in, which gives you an idea how you keep increasing the investment, because the MRSR has gone from, at that stage when they built City Hall, from about $26 million, and its value today, it has internal debts that you can see here of $45 million that they're collecting from us one way or the other, and a cash balance of about $7 million. So it's gone from $26 million to $52 million in value, And that's all right out of our pockets in taxes. Now, MRSR is a tricky deal. When the city manager, Gar Sherwin, presented to city council their detail on the MRSR, it was a two-hour presentation. So I'm just hitting the highlight, and I've showed you the four debts on City Hall that we still owe $12 million, and we're still paying rates of interest. Is there a 7%? Oh, there's a 7.5% there, a 6%. You know, this is a contract with ourselves. We can lower that interest rate anytime we want. We can wipe out that interest rate. But I've had at least two aldermen say to me, well, it's a contract. We can't change the interest rate. It's a contract, us with us. You can change any contract in those terms. In any event, Ed, I've gone over my time. Thank you very much for your attention. I hope that it wasn't throwing too many numbers at you. But I'm available, in half an hour for questions, that hopefully there'll be some, because I'm hoping that I've raised some issues in your minds. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Bob. I must say I wish we had people like Robert Parkin and Bob Baepke and even Joe Morrow back on council, because we apparently have a council that is unable to speak to the administration. They're being led by the nose. And with the presentation you've made, Bob, I don't think you have to be a rocket scientist to see that there's something smelly in the building today, but I hope it doesn't disturb your dinner. We'll now break for lunch, and we'll come back for questions. When we do come back for questions, please, no speeches. Try and keep your questions brief, and there'll be a microphone up here. Thank you very much, and enjoy your lunch. Thanks.